Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the show. You know, for a long time, I've been talking about the possibility of a city-county merger. I've played the soundbite for you from Kara Spencer, who just got sworn in as mayor. And she has discussed this during her campaign, the idea of regional cooperation, even mentioning St. Charles and outlying counties as well. And now the issue has come up again. I know there's a House joint resolution in Jeff City right now, and I think Democrat Ian Mackey is the one who is pushing that one. But I wanted to have on State Representative Brad Crist from District 96 to talk a little bit more about this. And Brad, welcome in.
Good morning. How are you all doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. A little sore day. We had our legislative softball tournament this week, so it's moving a little slow.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. I'm glad to hear. Who won, by the way?
Actually, it was the governor's team that won. The governor's team beat the speaker's team. My team came in, some will call it fourth place. I call it second place in the consolation bracket.
Nice. Nice. Glad to hear that. A little fun spirited competition down there, and the governor's team came out on top. Did he get any home runs or anything?
No, I think he had some other stuff going on, so I actually didn't see him out there.
Oh, okay. He just got to pick the team.
He sent his people to do the dirty work.
I see. I see how that works. So I guess, first of all, you know, this was somebody posted on social media regarding this idea that the legislature was once again entertaining the idea of some sort of a city-county merger. Given that Ian Mackey has introduced this as a Democrat in the minority, I don't know that it has any legs, but what do you know about it and how do you feel about it?
Yeah, you're correct. So Ian filed this bill. He's in his senior term here. He's passionate about the region as well as I am. He filed this. It's in my committee. I chair emerging issues here, which I think is the best committee in the House, selfishly, but we it's kind of a catch-all committee. We hear kind of the hot button issues and some of the big topics that come up. I asked for it actually to come to my committee because I am not a proponent of some of the past measures and the current measure to merge the city and the county. And so this will not be voted out of my committee, but I did promise Ian, out of respect for a number of reasons, that I would give him a public hearing. I think it's going to end probably in a fiery car crash, but he thinks otherwise, and we'll find out at the public hearing.
So I hear you say there that you don't support this particular bill. Do you support some sort of a get together between the city and the county?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't support this measure. I didn't support Better Together, but I think it's a good conversation to have to see how we can come together as a region to produce the economic development and the growth and some of the collaboration we need to thrive as a region. St. Louis is the economic engine of the state, and it's been lagging and pretty stagnant the last, I'd call it, 10 years. So it's one of the reasons I came up here And I think there's some good things in the conversation, which is why I wanted to have the hearing.
Would you support surrounding counties like what Kara Spencer has thrown out, St. Charles County, for example, being somehow involved in this?
Of course. I mean, you look at the population growth in Jefferson County, St. Charles County. I mean, we are a large region now. It's no longer just St. Louis and St. Louis County. Now, what that looks like, again, I don't know. But I'd really like to see some collaboration. I mean, you look at what Kansas City is dealing with their surrounding counties right now. They've got a lot going on, whether it's the airport and some of the collaboration they have. But they're seeing some very good growth over there. And I definitely want the east side of the state to still be the most prominent in the state.
Yeah. Just kind of put that into reality for them. What would that look like? Because, you know, when this Better Together thing came along, everybody was bringing up what was going on. And I think it's Jefferson County in Kentucky, which is basically Louisville, that they did this years ago, and it strengthened them. We have other challenges in St. Louis. You got, what, 90-plus municipalities in St. Louis County? And I don't know that you would get buy-in from St. Charles and Jefferson County and some of these other outlying counties if it appeared that it was some sort of big regional government.
No, and I don't think it, at the end of the day, comes into a regional government. It's going to be some, I mean, look, we have probably too many right now, but too many task forces and regional groups talk about crime and various other issues, whether it's the airport or anything of that nature. But if we could get more concise, I guess, conglomerate working together, that'd be good. But again, I don't foresee the residents of St. Louis County wanting to merge in any fashion with the city, nor St. Charles or Jefferson County. But I think everybody wants some sort of collaboration to see what are the good things that, you know, people do want in this conversation that we can stomach to help the region grow. And, you know, like you mentioned, you've seen it work in other areas of the country. And, you know, I'd like to be a story like Detroit, Indianapolis, Kentucky, Nashville, where we make some decisions as a local government in a bipartisan fashion to see us, you know, a huge springboard over the next decade. So when my kids are in high school or coming out of college, they want to stay here and grow a family here.
It doesn't seem like St. Louis County would be on board with this. The city probably would, because they're really the ones that need the lifeboat here that are crying for help. My concern with all this is, correct me if I'm wrong, would be that this would go to a statewide vote. So people who don't even live remotely close to either St. Louis City or St. Louis County would essentially have a say in whether or not this happens.
Correct. That's why I extremely oppose the ballot measure. It shouldn't be an HJR. I've talked to Representative Mackey about that. I don't want someone in Southwest or Northwest Missouri making a decision on the St. Louis region.
Good.
And so I don't think an HJR is the appropriate fashion. It needs to be a regional effort and a regional vote. And so we're going to talk in the public hearing about how you get down to that.
Yeah.
Better Together had some ideas about that. Again, my chances of something like this happening are about a 2% level.
Okay.
But again, I just want to have the conversation to talk about the good things that some of us do agree on.
Yeah.
And, well, and how we can get there.
And that's one reason I wanted to have you on to have that conversation, because if you support that idea, like, I'm thinking to myself, if even a merger where the city became another municipality in the county, they also, like every other one, get representation on a county council. So then you've got some of the same players that are making the, what I see, very progressive and bad decisions regarding policing and other issues, with a growing influence on then county politics. And I just don't know how that ends well, because, you know, Sam Page and Kara Spencer working together as a team, I'm not sure I want to live in that environment, to be honest with you.
No. Us Republicans are already hanging on by a thread in the county. So
yeah.
I don't want to add the city into that mix to tip the scales even further. And I know my constituents don't. I live in the county for a reason. You know, I grew up in Shrewsbury. Now I live in my District 96, obviously, in the Lindbergh School District area. So I live there for a reason. I didn't move into the city for a reason. And I feel most people in the county feel that way.
Yeah, very true. Brad Chris, our guest from District 96, as he just mentioned there a minute ago. So we're a little less than, what, 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks from the end of the session. What are your priorities? What do you think gets done between now and what is it, May 16th?
Yeah, we're coming down to the home stretch here. And I was very fortunate. I had a big crime package pass. It was the first bill the governor signed in his governorship to put the board back and the city of St. Louis Police Department to add some, to restore some sanity back in that police department in the city as far as crime and public safety. So I had a big win personally on that bill that I'm very proud of. And, but we have a lot to work on still coming up to the final weeks. We're going to try to work on Prop A a little bit, see what we can do there for our small businesses and our workers. And then we have always the fun topics of abortion and Amendment 3 that we're working on, and a lot of other fun stuff.
Well, I know that when the governor started his term, he talked a lot about reducing the income tax in the state of Missouri, and I've heard virtually nothing on that this far into the session. I'm assuming that's not going to happen this legislative session at all.
I don't think so, but I'm a big proponent of that, and Bishop Davidson filed a bill. Representative Bishop Davidson from Southwest Missouri filed a bill in the House, and a few senators in the Senate. You know, first year of the governor's tenure here, we've got flat revenues. Our COVID money's running out, so I think everybody wanted to kind of get a grasp on the state budget revenues, where it's going, and what the most responsible way is to cut that income tax. We're debating the budget right now. The Senate's going to send it back to us, so we're kind of seeing where the budget lands here after these COVID years to see how we can cut this income tax. But ideally, yes, I would love to get that to zero. You see the other states in the country right now that have a 0% income tax and they're thriving. I think it'd be a positive thing for the state to put the money back in the people's pockets.
State Representative Chris, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
And we'll be back right after this.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I asked the vice president if I could meet with Mr. Abrego Garcia. And he said, well, you need to make earlier provisions to go visit CECON.
We've got former Senator Jim Talent on the phone this morning, as we do every Thursday. Great to have you back, Jim. How are you?
I'm fine, Mark. I'm wondering what you have for me today. There's a lot going on in the world.
Yes, indeed, sir. That was Senator Chris Van Hollen, who was down in El Salvador. He was reacting to the media down there. Of course, I called it. I said this is just grandstanding, that he's just trying to get media attention. You don't fly into a foreign country unannounced and expect a meeting with the president. And that's exactly what happened. He flew down there to supposedly get this illegal alien back to the United States, who's locked up in a maximum security prison, and they wouldn't let him see the guy. He just did it as political grandstanding for somebody who's not even a constituent of his. What's your reaction to all this?
I think you're probably right. On the other hand, I do have to say that political grandstanding is a thing in Washington today. I find it hard to work up too great an anger towards Senator Van Hollen for doing it. Now, on the underlying question, I mean, people need to understand this man was adjudicated in the country illegally. He is a member of a gang. He has very probably committed crime. They didn't have to determine whether he has. The only thing that an administrative law judge ever said, they said, yes, we reject all the claims. You can deport the guy. But a judge years ago said you can't deport him to El Salvador because he claimed that he was in danger from a rival gang. Okay. Now, that was before President Bukele took over and dropped the crime rate by 95%. So I really doubt he's in any great danger there. The only other thing I'll say, Mark, is when you're before a court, there's two questions the court has to determine. Number one is, what are the rights involved? And number two, does the court have the power to order a remedy? And when a remedy requires that a foreign leader do something, or that the United States change its foreign policy to get a foreign leader to do something, the court has no power to order a remedy. I mean, if the court were to order the Trump administration, for example, to impose a tariff on El Salvador in order to get this man back, the higher courts would reverse that in a heartbeat. You can't do that.
Yeah.
It'd be like if we'd sent foreign aid to a country and the court determined that Congress had not authorized it and it was therefore should not have been sent. What are you going to do? Invade the other country to get the money back? So this whole thing is a gigantic, you know, kerfluffle over nothing. The man deserved to be deported. He's from El Salvador. We have this arrangement with the El Salvadoran government, and I think he's going to stay there.
Mark brought up a really good point, and that was, you know, you think about people like the Senator Chris Van Hollen, who's going to El Salvador to try to get him back. I mean, would that not be considered like aiding and abetting if this guy is a known gang member and has been in the country illegally for many years?
Yeah, and we'll see what the political consequences are for that. I mean, the remedy for this sort of thing is political. I think the American people want the border closed. So the administration's pretty effectively closed it already, and we're going to finish building the wall and taking other measures to keep it closed. And then they want the people who came here illegally to be deported, with a special emphasis on men like this guy.
Right.
Right? Yeah. We don't want him in the... I mean, I, this... I can't describe to you guys how foreign this is to the issues around immigration. When I was serving, everybody then agreed. I mean, you can find statements from Democratic presidents, Clinton, Obama. Yeah, we got to stop illegal immigration. We want to deport people who are a danger to the American people who got in here illegally.
Right.
The question is, and you know, the question was always how much legal immigration and what to do with those, that group of people who'd been here illegally for 20 years, but had lived honestly, et cetera. That was an issue. That's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I don't know how it ends. I heard the Judge Boasberg is now threatening to hold the federal government in contempt, or the Trump administration. What does that look like? I mean, who do you try to throw the attorney general, who's technically your boss, in jail?
Yeah, I think it looks like a reversal on appeal on the remedial question. Again, I mean, the lawyers in the audience will understand this. I mean, it's two different questions. Is what are the underlying merits, but then also what remedy is possible and appropriate? There are some remedies that are outside of what's called the court's equitable discretion. It just doesn't have discretion to order that.
Right.
And now, did the Trump administration set this up in part with that in view? Yeah, potentially. I mean, in other words, they want to effectuate the policy the president was elected to accomplish. And this is both a good place to put these individuals, because that's always a problem. I mean, what do you do if you want to deport them to a country that won't accept them? You have to find some place to put them. And then also, you know, a way of ensuring that the policy is accomplished. It'll be worked out in the courts. And this is a subject that I think the American people have resolved. I mean, elections don't resolve everything, but we know what they want with regard to this. And they're absolutely correct in wanting it. I mean, this flow of people on, you know, illegals in the country has overwhelmed services. It's threatened communities. It's disrupted both the smaller towns and the big cities. It needs to stop. And I think the Trump administration is going to get this done.
Yeah, I hope sooner rather than later. Jim, thank you as always.
You are welcome.
All right. Have a great week. Jim Talent there. Always great to get him on. Coming up, I told you we're going to get our friends from the Show Me Institute on David Stokes. They try to keep a close eye on what your local cities are doing when it comes to tax reform. Are they considering it in your community? We're going to talk to David Stokes, see what that looks like, coming up right after the break. Stay tuned.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in this morning and you missed our interview in the 6 o'clock hour with Anthony Russo, the conversation was about a potential tax hike that's being quietly floated by the White House for this reconciliation bill, would raise taxes on millionaires. The Democrats must not know what to do with themselves. Think they would actually come out and oppose that? I don't know. But they would use it to offset cutting taxes for, I guess, overtime and tips. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Odds are it probably won't. But it brings up the issue of taxation. If you just got your reassessment, or you've ever looked at the sales tax bill for your municipality, what do you think about that? Is it too high? We have got David Stokes on the line with us. Great to have him back from the Show Me Institute. He's the director of municipal policy, showmeinstitute.org. And David, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Great to be on the air with you and your listeners.
Yes, sir. Always good to get you on. You have been working on a free market guide for Missouri city, towns, and villages regarding taxation. What have you found?
Well, it's part of a project that I'm really enjoying. This is the second release in the paper, and the project's all about sort of, we talk all the time at the federal and state level, like, How do you operate government in a more limited government, free market oriented way? But this project is about applying those questions to cities.
Yes.
You know, cities, towns, villages. What would it mean to operate your city in a more limited government, free market way? And it's been a lot of fun. And we've got the first two sets of the project up at showmeinstitute.org, and the one we just released is on taxes. And how does that operate? And so it starts with one one statement I think would probably surprise a lot of your listeners, that cities in Missouri use property taxes less than cities in any other state as a revenue source on average. And that would probably surprise a lot of people. And I want to stress, I'm talking cities don't use very little in property taxes. I'm not talking school districts or fire districts or the county. Obviously, people pay property taxes in Missouri. But many cities are sort of, you know, first of all, in our two largest cities, St. Louis and Kansas City, they make heavy use of the worst type of local tax, which is the earnings tax. So we still talk about the harms of the local earnings tax in St. Louis. But we also talk about how a lot of cities are a little too dependent on sales taxes. It's not that cities shouldn't use a sales tax. There's plenty of good things that can come from a reasonable sales tax. And I think they're too high in some ways in some cities, especially with special taxing districts like community improvement districts, mm-hmm. et cetera. But cities really, like Wildwood, for instance, uses sales taxes for over 90% of their local revenues. And that's really, really high. And it would probably, I like to describe it as more of a three-legged stool, where cities should probably be funding themselves a little bit in a more even fashion between sales taxes, property taxes, and the third part, which is user fees. Like if you want to go play golf in your municipal golf course, taxes shouldn't be paying for that. You should be paying for that by paying a charge when you go play golf at your municipal golf course. User fees are a big part of it.
Why are some of these municipalities so worried about the idea of the taxes going down if they're getting a lot, if the bulk of what they're using is from sales tax? Because that would not go away, right? I mean, I guess that's one idea that's been floated around.
Right. So, you know, there are things talking about sales tax changes too. The biggest one being discussed in the state legislature right now, and it's probably not going to happen, Kim, but it could, is to get rid of the sales tax on groceries. Right now, there is a reduced state sales tax on groceries, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's also talk of getting rid of the sales tax entirely at the local level on groceries, and that's a lot of money for cities. Grocery stores, not surprisingly, provide a great deal of revenue for cities that have a couple of them.
Well,
and there's a lot of concern there. And it's not that I think groceries, it's not that I want groceries to be more expensive, but every time you make an exemption for a sales tax or a property tax and take something out of it, when you shrink that base, you make it inevitable that you're going to have higher taxes on everything else. Mm-hmm. So shrinking that tax base is a tricky move that you have to be very careful about.
That's true. David Stokes, our guest from the Show Me Institute. I have a question for you. Since you've looked at this across the state, and you brought up Wildwood, because I served on city council there for two terms. Wildwood is a Class B city in St. Louis County, where they have this crazy... Your dog likes Wildwood. I can
say,
hear it in the background.
We have to address the dog.
I'm moving. I moved into a different room away from the puppy.
So Wildwood is a Class B city, and in this crazy system we have in St. Louis County, I don't know if Karl Marx designed it or what, but some cities have to take their sales tax because they make too much of it and contribute it to a pool that then goes to other cities that don't have enough of it. And does that exist anywhere else in Missouri?
It does not exist for the general sales tax anywhere else but in St. Louis County.
Okay.
There are other parts of the state where tourism taxes, meaning primarily hotel taxes, are pooled and put together.
Okay.
We also do that in St. Louis, and they do that in Branson and Lake of the Ozarks as well. But the sales tax pooling system is unique to St. Louis County, and I'm a fan of it. I think it's a good thing. And as you know, Wildwood is a pool city, meaning that they get some of the money that is spent elsewhere.
And it's right.
You know, it's becoming slightly less of an issue now because use taxes, people buy things online, and that's charged
that's going
based
back.
On where you live, yeah. Not based on where you shop. But it was originally instituted because it was an issue that the cities with a few large malls like Frontenac and Richmond Heights and Brentwood, a lot of retail shopping, they were getting an enormous amount of sales taxes and still do. But, you know, the people who shop there weren't just from Frontenac and Richmond Heights and Brentwood. They're from all over the place. So it was designed to spread out that sales tax revenue a little more fairly. And I think it's worked. And I am a fan of the sales tax pool in general. And I think other parts of Missouri should consider it. But with St. Louis's unique number of so many municipalities, it was more needed in St. Louis County than elsewhere.
So, David, can people download your report and look at their individual town and how it's handled?
Well, no, it doesn't. It's not so specific to, like, data on all 900-plus municipalities in Missouri. I may get there as this project goes on and on. But, yes, they can download the report at showmeinstitute.org and see about sales and property taxes and local income taxes and other municipal options in general. The real purpose of the overall project is to get people thinking, you know, inertia is a big thing in all government, including local government. And a lot of cities, they just do it this way because they've always done it that way.
They never changed it.
Right. So we're just putting out different ideas for other ways, I think, better, more growth-oriented, limited government ways for cities to both fund themselves with taxes, but also with the larger project, operate their governments, like how Eureka privatized its water division a few years back. That's the type of thing we try to encourage more and more of.
David Stokes, always appreciate having you on and your great research. ShowMeInstitute.org. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Tim. Always enjoy talking with you guys.
We'll talk to you soon. I appreciate that. I could talk all morning about this sales tax pool in St. Louis County. David and I might disagree on that one a little bit, but I'm out of time because the great one, Griff Jenkins, has had a mix-up in his Fox schedule this morning. And instead of getting him in next hour, in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to get to him right after this commercial break. So I got to get going. I'll be back in a minute.
And then he takes her into the tunnel. And he picks her up. He throws her against the wall. Blood is gushing from her head. Her hair is soaked in blood. And they showed us pictures of her body.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins. Watch your back. Yeah, kind of hard to listen to Rachel Morin's mother at the White House yesterday, and it was powerful, and it was hard to listen to. We carried part of it live here during Mark Reardon's show yesterday, and Griff, I know you've been covering this story. And now Chris Van Hollen is down doing his grandstanding in El Salvador.
Yeah, and it was hard to listen to. And I think, you know, what's fascinating, Mark, is that it's clear now that there's two sides to the story of Abrego Garcia, and Democrats apparently have become the party of violent illegal criminals, and they're advocating for it, like Senator Chris Van Hollen is doing down in El Salvador. And, you know, while there are two sides, and I don't know why Democrats are choosing to die on this hill, but while there are two sides, that moment was a single undeniable moment of the stark consequences of the open border policies of the previous administration. That's not a criticism. That's not an opinion. It's a reality. And you saw, I've interviewed Patty Morin a number of times, and she went farther in detail than I think we've ever heard her talking about her daughter, the mother of five, Rachel Morin, who was brutally beaten, raped, and strangled to death. Her talking about bruises on every part of her body was just heart-wrenching.
Well, and the other part is the media pivoted to, well, but that's not Garcia. He didn't do that. That was a different El Salvadorian gang member. Like that's an excuse. I mean, Senator Van Hollen, you know, I talked to Jim Talent, our former senator from Missouri, earlier, and he's like, grandstanding is nothing new in D.C. I mean, that's not a surprise. Van Hollen flew to El Salvador on a moment's notice and thought he was going to get a meeting with the president? I mean, that wasn't going to happen.
No, and, you know, to be fair to Chris Van Hollen, he's from Maryland, and so he felt perhaps it was hitting close to home, so perhaps he was looking to do a one-off performative act to show that he was willing to, you know, have some sort of attempt of advocating for him while Abrego Garcia's case is tied up in the courts. But what's shocking to me is, even if you can sort of see why Van Hollen would do it, why are all of the Democrats getting on the bandwagon with the Cory Booker not wanting to go, a handful of House Democrats trying to get Codell's organized to go down there? I'll tell you, I saw on CNN the data guy that does the poll stuff was just showing the poll numbers, with 56% of Americans today want all 11 million plus illegals sent home, deported. 56%, more than half the country, want all the illegals, not just the violent ones, all the ones that broke the law when they illegally crossed, gone. And it just flies in the face of really, you know, the mandate and what voters felt in November. Yet Democrats are going to double down, while you've also got Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, yesterday saying, look, even if Abrego Garcia is sent back, he crossed illegally, he's here illegally, we've now got these court records surfacing that his wife took out a domestic violence allegation protection order against him, he's gone. He's going back. So at the end of the day, even from a pragmatic political standpoint, Democrats have to see this isn't a winning hand to play.
I'm sure you're familiar with the Babylon Bee, which is satire for anyone who's not. But even they were kind of poking at the ridiculousness of this. It says American hostages in Gaza disguise themselves as MS-13 gang members so Democrats will fight to bring them home. I mean, they're seriously, it's sad, but there's truth to that. Why is this the hill they're wanting to die on? And they're so passionate about that. But then a woman who's brutally raped and murdered by an illegal, they just want to skate over that.
Yeah, go figure. It makes no sense. I mean, literally, you know, the criticism that the Democrat Party has now become the party of illegal aliens is going to eventually be the truth. And it certainly looks like they're moving in that direction. And, you know, good luck with that. But hey, you know what? Listen, the markets are tanking. Democrats are the party of violent illegal aliens. And Katy Perry's an astronaut. So everything's normal, guys.
Nothing to see here. Please move right along. Sure. Griff, listen, I know we had to move you around a little bit this morning, but I appreciate you making time for us, my friend.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Yes, sir. We will talk soon. Griff Jenkins there live in D.C. He's covering the other story he's covering that I didn't get to in this hit is that the Italian prime minister, who is also a fan of Donald Trump, is in D.C. today visiting. So she's one of the European leaders that's not on board with the socialists over there who hate everything that Trump is doing. It'll be interesting to see Griff's coverage of that a little later today as well. All right, coming up, we'll get to our friend Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday at about 8:20. Really nothing to talk about here. I wonder when she's going to get to be on a rocket ship to space. We'll ask her.
Get more at 971talk.com.